Welcome to Sustainable Voices. I'm your host, Thomas Walsh. I was recently invited to attend a conference on peak oil and food security organised by the Garden of Eden Project. During this conference, we had the opportunity to listen to various groups and individuals that were dealing with the issues of peak oil and food security. Over the next couple of shows, we will be hearing from those people. In this episode, we'll be hearing from Mark Boyd and Helen Clough of Derebin and Banyule City Councils. In their presentation, they talk about the leverages available to local governments to aid them in improving food security for their residents. You're listening to Mark Boyd and Helen Clough.
So access to healthy foods is a human right, as we know, and which means that we should have access to protein sources, 3 servings of fruit and 5 vegetables, 5 servings of vegetables every day. And so we're asking, does everyone in our community have that level of access? This quote, the second one, access by all people at all times to enough food for an active, healthy life, that's the core of what the Good Food Alliance is coming from, which is a joint partnership between Darebin City Council, Banyule City Council, community agencies and local residents. So the Good Food Alliance doesn't ask who's responsible to ensure this. It says that we're all responsible together for ensuring this access, so it's about working in partnership. The Good Food Alliance is sort of based on a Canadian model, the food policy sort of coalition model, which is jointly raising awareness around some of the structural issues around access to fresh fruit and vegetables, as well as then a description of some of the initiatives that we've got happening in our local community or that we're aware of that we really like the sound of and want to see whether or not it's relevant for our local community. This website, the nphp.gov.au, that's the National Public Health Partnerships. If you go there, you go to the publications page, and if you choose F, there's a report there on food security. There's a pretty dodgy photo there, but that's a packed room. We have about 35, 40 people come to our Good Food Alliance meetings every 2 months. That reference, by the way, is to the New South Wales Health Food Security Options paper, which I found a pretty inspiring read, and so I recommend you all have a look at that. This is a little fuzzy slide about the determinants of food security. So what we try to do within the Good Food Alliance is see where we can impact on some of these the factors that then can increase access to fresh food, fresh fruit and vegetables. So it's a bit too early for us to say which ones create the biggest impacts, but I suppose with community development and health promotion, the approach is always to try a variety of techniques so that there's a range of initiatives. It's building on the qualities of diversity, I suppose. So although we're not sure which ones would create the biggest impact, then by having a few initiatives addressing each of those, then we can probably get a bit of stuff happening in the community. This is the food supply chain, and I'd like to thank Peter Strecker for documenting this in the City of Port Phillip's food security strategy. Again, it demonstrates the range of intervention points possible, from food produced and food available through distribution. There, locally, we've got about 7 community gardens. I'll touch on that at the very end. But because we've got such good speakers talking about the urban agriculture, like hearing from Amadis already, and we've got Chris Ennis coming up as well. So I want to focus more on the food available for purchasing. This interests me, I suppose, because also the supermarket system is so unsustainable in the long term that when that falls over, we really need to have those food supply chains and the infrastructure behind that still working in the community. Okay, one of our biggest tools in working in the Good Food Alliance is local research, and Darebin City Council does that in collaboration with Darebin Community Health and with Deakin University. And here I'd like to thank Ben Norden and Anne Somerville from Darebin Community Health, who've been sort of hosting the research students, and they've also used their local communities that they're already engaged with to actually carry out some of the research for us so that we can understand the local needs a bit better. That's been sort of instrumental in being able to advocate for this sort of work through council as well. The two-year research cycle, in the first year we do a healthy food access basket survey. So it's looking at what would be a typical fortnight's worth of food for a family of four, and then pricing that at all of the local supermarkets and other food outlets in the area. And then the second year, we look at the social context of food. So we look at what are people's shopping habits, how do they like to store their food, some of the cultural aspects. We've got, in Darabin, we're lucky enough to have one of the areas where newly arrived immigrants settle. So finding out their cultural relationships as far as how often they like to do their shopping, all of that sort of stuff does help. We want to ask a few questions about cooking confidence and also the social aspects of eating. Some of the limitations, though, of doing the basket survey, apologies for the acronym, so that's Healthy Food Access Basket Survey. What the design of the actual food basket that we're using to sort of check the price of locally was actually designed for far north Queensland. So it's got a tropical climate focus. So we do sort of question whether or not we should actually then create our own local food basket sort of thing. Benefits of that would be that you could then sort of use it as a sort of community engagement strategy by talking with the community and maybe promote up, what would actually be in a sort of standard fortnight's food and sort of draw attention to it locally. The downside of that, though, would be that we then wouldn't have a comparative instrument that we can use to sort of check the prices elsewhere. Although, I must say, I don't really know if it's really valuable to be able to compare what we're paying in Darabin with what they're paying in far north Queensland, for example, or whether it will be more important to see if everyone in our community is able to afford that healthy food basket. So also, is it culturally appropriate to new immigrants, especially with the range of pulses that are quite often used by some of the communities locally? And also, is it culturally appropriate for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander lifestyles? In Darabin, we're lucky again to have the largest Indigenous population in metropolitan Melbourne. But the Healthy Food Access Basket Survey, I don't know that in some elements it would really help. Angelina from Darabin Community Health was mentioning to us that that some members of the Aboriginal community use food parcels that are available through Aborigines Advancement League. And what she would love is if there was even just like a basket of apples rather than just the food bank type parcels that are provided. So if we do all this research into a healthy food access basket from the supermarkets, those people who aren't even able to access the grocery system are completely lost as far as what their needs are and their access to healthy fruit and vegetables as well. So these are just sort of things we're pondering, I suppose, or trying to figure out what initiatives will really work. I'm glad it's moved to here for this slide and for the rest of them, because otherwise the whole presentation wouldn't make a lot of sense. My apologies for using two maps to try to tell a bit of a similar story. On this, on the left-hand side, we've got the idea of food deserts. So all of the yellow dots are supermarkets, and then we've mapped out 500 metres around it. So that's meant to be, that's sort of considered accessible distance to be buying your weekly groceries from. So you can see that here, this is the sort of West Preston, West Reservoir area, and this narrow bit through the middle of Reservoir East is all in food deserts. On this side of the map, on the right side, the yellow areas indicate the yellow and the, this, whatever that colour is, sort of, it's not really any colour, is it? Sort of dark yellow or something. But that sort of indicates areas of high socioeconomic disadvantage. So you can see that all of this area here, where there's quite high disadvantage, they don't have access to shops, to grocery stores as well. But if we then look, again, here's the supermarket map. And this time what we've done on this side is we've looked at where all of the milk bars and the convenience stores are. So here you can actually see that the food desert would pretty much disappear for all of Preston West and Reservoir West, and also for Reservoir East, if we were able to get fresh fruit and vegetables into the milk bars locally. So one idea, I suppose it's been inspired by a talk at one of the Good Food Alliances that we held last year, which was the Darabin Food Co-op. Now that's a group of residents who all chip in together and buy their own, so one of them goes out shopping, they divvy it up, and then bang, they've all got, you know, a week's worth of fruit and veg at a cheaper cost. So if we could somehow do that sort of supply system into the milk bars and convenience stores, then that might be the way, you know, like that might be a sort of an intervention that just might work. So again, just a reminder that I'm trying to talk about the purchasing side of this, and I suppose with and looking at it from people who don't have access to cars, who can't travel large distances, who have a short amount of time because of family pressures and all the rest. Okay, so when we did do the Healthy Food Access Basket survey, we found here the blue lines are the supermarkets and the yellow are the milk bars and convenience stores. And you can see that when we actually just did a checklist, yep, what's available, there's really pretty much nothing available from the milk bars and convenience stores. When we do that first year study, so it's like the cost of a healthy food basket, but it's also about transport and mapping of transport. So what we found is that in West Preston and East Reservoir, there's around 30% of people who don't own a car. We've got like a great resource of Preston Market, but it's still inaccessible for people who are living in East Preston or in West Preston or West Reservoir. And they're the people who actually need to use it the most as far as being able to reduce some of their household costs. Some of the supermarkets, when we did the Healthy Food Access Basket survey, some of them do offer home delivery, but the costs vary from like $2 to $5. So there's that. We're not sure about taxi usage. Do people use, do frail aged or people with disabilities use the ever dwindling subsidy for taxis to be able to access some of their fresh fruit and vegetables? And there's no public transport on Sundays in these areas as well. As far as affordability, you can see that it's roughly about $180, $190 for the basket of goods, which actually tended to be just a little bit higher than what people pay on the Mornington Peninsula when they've done this survey there as well, which I thought was quite interesting because they've got quite long distances. So I'm not sure about why some of that is, but at least we've now got some of the information that we can start asking these questions and trying to move it forward.
So what family is that for? How many? $180?
So that's the question that we're next asking. This we heard here someone saying what families do have $180 to spend a fortnight on food. And that's actually a gap of of what we know, which is where that second year, the social context research comes into it. So one of the big gaps is we don't know how much people have to actually spend a fortnight on food. So knowing that it's 180 is sort of, it's only half, like it actually doesn't tell us a hell of a lot. What we actually need to know is how much a fortnight do people have to spend on food, and therefore is 180 over the top for some of our most disadvantaged members of our community.
Is that a family of four? Or?
Yeah.
Four children?
So two adults and two children. If you look at I think Queensland Health, you could get some details on their Healthy Food Access Basket survey if you're interested in that. Rushing through. Okay, thanks. I'll just skip over that. So we're currently in year two, so we're now actually doing some of that social context of food. The question I'm really keen to answer is that one, how much do you have to spend on fresh fruit and vegetables each week? Darabin City Council did do a poverty inquiry a fair few years back, and that was really useful information as far as it told us that after paying rent and utilities, people didn't have any money left. So this will again, now we'll actually be able to ask that specifically around food. We've also been able to embed some food security questions into our household surveys that Darabin Council runs biannually as well. And that's, we're using, at Beverly Woods' recommendation, we're using the nationally validated population health survey around in the last 12 months, was there any occasion where you went without food? So I suppose it's trying to put it on the radar for local councils as well, so that hopefully, you know, we've got some data then that can stand out and actually can prompt them to do some stuff about it. So we're already looking at 1 and 3. We're looking at reorienting our community transport systems to increase some sort of shopping trips, including shopping trips to the West Heidelberg St. Vinny's budget grocery store. And we're also looking at we're advocating for Sunday buses. It could be that we do particular flyers of like how to get to Preston Market and back with your shopping sort of thing for people in West Preston and West Reservoir. So rather than them having to decipher the bus timetables and maybe the train timetable as well, if we sort of make it easier for people to make those links, that might help. Another suggestion was maybe if we do training for mixed businesses in their shopping skills and maybe even try to encourage them where they're not in too much competition with each other to actually be buying bulk fresh fruit and vegetables and then divvying it up. When we did the healthy food access basket survey, again, we were asking how often do you do your shopping to the small businesses, and we were finding out that they were doing it once a week, roughly. So if we could somehow, if we know that four of them are all doing it weekly, if we can somehow assist them to be able to include maybe some tomatoes, bananas, maybe not bananas at the moment, and all the rest, and try to get that into milk bars, that might be a way to go as well. So it's also, if you look, there are supply business chains already. So, I mean, some of them do DVD rentals, and so an outside business will come and restock the DVD shelving once a week, newspapers, milk. So if we can figure out where the potential is to sort of replicate some of those delivery systems, maybe that's the way to go as well. Oh, okay, and so finally with that one about council rebates. One idea might be that in those areas of West Preston and East Reservoir, if milk bars did actually start buying wholesale fruit and veg in bulk, maybe there could be some sort of council rebate that could be offered so that, you know, because they're actually providing a community service and reducing some of the structural disadvantages. That's it for as far as where we're at with all of our thinking. It's sort of more just food for thought about where we're trying to head and how we're at the moment trying to address those food supply chain questions. But because there seems to be a strong interest in community gardens, I might quickly just mention a couple of facts on this fuzzy slide. So we've got about 7 community gardens across Darabin, but as you can see, they're all in the darker areas, which is the high... less disadvantaged. So all of the gardens actually occur in areas where people are sort of doing okay anyway, sort of thing. So, but we do know that at least 30% of all of our gardens do have 30% of all community gardeners are concession card holders. I'd also like to congratulate Peter Johnston for getting a garden up at Home Street, which is a public housing estate in the Northcote area. So down, it's right in this one where you can see that they're still. There's quite a lot of disadvantage here, and Peter's been able to work with cultivating community who now offer a... And that's where the compost from today is going to go. So there you go. So good on you for eating lunch here, I suppose. Just a quick couple of points, I suppose, with community gardens is, one, that within council, it's really hard to lobby for it as existing open space, so you've got to actually find new open spaces because, you know, the open space is considered quite important amongst councils. And in fact, sometimes when you raise community gardens, the immediate perception is that you're talking about taking back some of the open space for community gardens. So people close the door in your face straight away. So you've got to sort of remind people that that's not what you're on about. There's some recent data about the increasing housing valuation value for houses immediately around a community garden, so there's a good argument to be made there. And also with community safety, there's a lot of stuff that suggests that having local community gardens increases people's perception that the area is safe because there are people actually active in the community with visible sight lines all the time. If there could be further research from community gardens into that, I think that would be really useful because within our council, for example, there's 3 community safety roles, and maybe a 0.8 or a 1 health-focused type role. So there is sort of like some community safety money, so if we can demonstrate that community gardens are a community safety initiative, then maybe that's another way to embed it as well. So a bit of a ramble and all over the place. If you want to find out more about where we're at, whoops, darabin.vic.gov.au and then / all one word, community health and safety. And then from there you go into the Darabin Health pages and from there you'll see a food security link.
That was Mark Boyd and Helen Clow. You've been listening to Sustainable Voices, the show that explores the landscape of sustainability and its people. For more information on this show and for an archive of previous shows, go to www.whitepage.com.au/sustainablevoices. Thanks for listening.